I'm impressed with how much volume you got out of them. Because most of the time they all go.
The microphone with the diamonds had a lot to do with it.
All right. We're glad you're in the Lord's house today. Let's pray for a moment. Father, we thank you for this day again. And Father, I pray that not only will we have anointed preaching, but we will have anointed hearing. Father, that you'll speak through what we say, you'll speak through your word, and you'll speak in a way that we will hear. And not just hear physically, but hear spiritually in a way that will change our lives and the lives of those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a moment, we'll be back in Acts, but let's, if you would, turn to Luke 15. Luke 15 to start with. And then in a few moments, we'll go to Acts. My dad used to keep a herd of about 50 cows. And it's real interesting. Certain time of the year, you go out and all the little calves, they may be 2 days old, they may be a week old, they may be 2 weeks old. But little calves are just cute. They're just cute. And to have a pasture full of calves was something that'll put a smile on a cattleman's face. Now, if you raise sheep, to have a pasture full of lambs will put a smile on your face. If you raise horses, to have have a foal in the barn, the stable, that'll put a smile on your face. Well, the way to put a smile on the face of the Lord is to win somebody to Jesus. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verse 7, it says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Jesus saying when one person gets saved, heaven rejoices. He says basically the same thing and even different in verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Great joy in heaven every time somebody is born into the family of God. And for years, I read that joy in the presence of the angels, and I pictured the angels rejoicing, and I think they do. But it says joy in the presence of the angels. Well, who's in the presence of the angels? Our loved ones that are in heaven. Now, you may be one of those stern-faced Baptists that a smile would crack your face. But I guarantee you, you pray for a grandchild for 20 years and die, and that grandchild's not saved, and you get to heaven, and word comes to you, your grandchild got saved. You're going to dance all over the block. You're going to shout and scream, hallelujah, glory to God, praise the Lord. You're going to be so happy, and angels are going to stand back and say, wow, look at Grandma. Joy in heaven over one person that's saved. Now, as you look at the New Testament church, you know it was a place where people were saved. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The day of Pentecost, they'd been in that upper room, they'd been praying. Then they came down out of the upper room, and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, they shared their faith. They shared their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Peter stood up and preached, and 3,000 people were saved in one day. 3,000 of them. Prayer, personal testimony, preaching of the word, and 3,000 were saved. If you go over to chapter 4, in verse 4, Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. It says that it uses the word men. It doesn't use the word people or person, so it may have been 5,000 men and a number of women and children. We don't know, but at least 5,000 were added. So you go from 120 in the upper room to 3,000 to 5,000 and even more. I mean, here is a church that's growing tremendously. But you know what I like even better is verse 47 of chapter 2. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Great crusades and revivals are wonderful, but the most wonderful thing of all is when people are being born into the family of God on a regular basis. People are added to the church daily who are being saved. Great crusades, big numbers, great. But on a regular basis, folks were being born into the family of God. How tremendous that was. You see, these people, these sheep, and in the kingdom of God were bearing more sheep. They were bringing their friends and their neighbors and their relatives to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know, Jesus himself said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who were lost. That's his purpose, for people to be saved. Now, if our church, if any church, is going to be a New Testament church, it's going to be a church with a heart, a passion for lost people. For people who do not know the Lord. Now you think about the situation in that early church. 99% of the world had never heard the name Jesus. And those in Israel who had heard the name, some were believers, but a lot of them hated Jesus. I mean, after all, they put him on the cross. So the church faced a hostile environment, a hostile situation. And yet, people were being saved. They thrived. Numbers were being added to the church because they were sharing their testimony. Now, what about you and me? Do we have a passion for the lost? Do we really care about lost people? Do we really see them as on their way to hell? Eternal. Forever. In torment. Do we realize, you know, so often they say, you know, they're such a good person. They're such a nice person. Yes, they may be. But without Jesus, they're lost. Without Jesus, they have no hope. Without Jesus, it's a sad, sad eternity. God so loved that he gave. Do we so love that we give of ourselves, our testimony? Do we have a passion to pray for unsaved people? Do we have a passion to share our faith with them? Every one of us is unique. And every one of us have our own testimony. But how much do we share? Now, quite honestly, my wife's better at it than I am. Might as well admit it. That doesn't mean, well, okay, I'm going to sit down over here and watch her do it. No. I have a role too. We all have a role to share our faith. To bring a smile to the face of God as we bring people into the family of God. You know, I like to share stories, and the ones I'm going to share, just like most everything, is real. Things that really happen. People that I know. Things that could very well happen in this church. in one of the churches where I pastored. One of the first ladies I met when I went to that church, sang in the choir, WMU director, taught Sunday school. Her husband came with her every Sunday, very faithfully, sat in his Sunday school class. They were in their mid-40s. And one Sunday morning, I gave the invitation, and here came Ben down the aisle. He says, I want to give my heart to Jesus. And the men in his Sunday school class said, we thought Ben was a Christian all along. Came to Sunday school every Sunday. And nobody realized that Ben was lost. What about the people in your Sunday school class? Do you know that you know that you know for sure that they know Jesus? Is there somebody that comes just because it makes my wife happy? Or it makes my mom and my dad happy? And they've never given their heart and their life to Jesus. John R. Rice was a famous independent Baptist preacher. Same thing happened to him when he was in seminary. He and his wife were in a seminary class, and there were, I'll say, regular people in the class, and also several seminary professors and their wife. And one Sunday evening, John R. Rice and his wife went and visited a couple that were in their Sunday school class, and they found out that the people in that couple in, that were in their class that heard those seminary professors teach it every Sunday weren't saved, and John R. Rice and his wife led that couple to the Lord. You know, the class just assumed that they knew Jesus, but they didn't. A number of years ago, I heard a man named Clark Whitten give his testimony. He said he grew up in one of those families that mom and dad were drinkers and, well, the way we say it at home, cussers. Just vulgar. Said he went to Bible school maybe once or twice as growing up. Said he came home from college after his first year, freshman year, and a bunch of them had gathered around in a gym and were playing basketball, and a girl came by that he had gone to high school with. And she said, Clark, I want you to go with me to a crusade tomorrow night. Well, to get her off his back, yeah, I'll go. But he had no intention of going. So the next morning he got up and he drove to another town where his sister lived. And he said, I skipped that. Well, a little while the phone rings and his sister says, it's for you. And it was the young girl that invited him to the crusade. And he started making his excuses and she said, but you promised. But you promised. And every time he started making an excuse, but you promised. And so finally, Clark says, okay, I'll go with you. And he went back to his hometown and then he and the girl went. That night, he heard James Robinson preach. And he gave his heart and life to Jesus. And he said, right about where first base should be in that stadium, a Baptist deacon explained to him the plan of salvation. Made sure that he was saved. Said on the way home, the devil started attacking him and saying, it was just an emotional experience. Didn't mean anything. Said it was about midnight and he got out of the car and started walking up in the dark, and there sat mom and dad and their drinking, carousing buddies on the porch with their vulgarity. And he said, for the first time in my life, that sounded and felt dirty to me. And he knew in his heart he was different. Next morning he got up and said, well, I believe I would go to church. Mom and however many sisters he had left at home said, we believe we'll go with you. At the end of the service, he walked down the aisle and said to the preacher, said, last night I gave my heart and life to Jesus and I wanted the church to know it. Of course, I mean, you know, the people were aghast that the Whittons have come to church this morning. I mean, we Well, he turned around and there stood his mom and his sisters. And he said to the preacher, said, well, can you tell them how to be saved? Said the preacher, just stood there like he was deaf and dumb, mute. So Clark says, I sat my mama and my sisters down on the front pew and I went through what that Baptist deacon did with me and they got saved. And you see, it goes back to one little girl who would have been about 18, 19, 20 with a burden for a classmate. And when I heard Clark give that testimony, he was pastoring a church that averaged in the thousands on Sunday mornings. One person with a burden. Now, the embarrassing thing is, a preacher that can't tell somebody how to be saved. Do you know how to tell people to be saved? You know, Lionel has the Baptist, it works with Baptist Lay Renewal. For a long time, there was the Baptist Lay Witness Group that worked also in that. And some of you may have had a part of that. The story of how the Baptist Lay Witness Group is sad. Started is really sad. It's great, but it's sad. It was started by a man who ran a little trucking company. He was a Sunday school teacher and he was a deacon. His best friend drove one of his trucks. One morning they loaded up, the best friend loaded his truck and left. Then the owner of the company left behind him. And he goes a few miles down the road and his best friend's truck is wrecked and is on fire. And he gets out and he can't put the fire out. And he can't get his friend out. And his friend keeps saying, tell me how I can be a Christian. Tell me how I can be saved. And he couldn't. And he watched his friend die and go to hell. He said, that'll never happen again. He went home and learned how to tell somebody about Jesus. And he said, you know, if I was that way as a deacon in my church, there's a lot of others. And so from that became a movement across North Carolina where they went to church after church after church. I was on their board of directors for years. My wife went to a lot of churches. They went to New Mexico and Arizona and South Carolina and Arkansas, and I don't know how many places they went trying to show people how to tell somebody about Jesus. It's not complicated. If you don't know how, learn how to tell somebody about Jesus. And it can happen anywhere. You can do it anywhere. The other week, you know, whenever the hurricane was coming and everybody was grabbing all the water off the shelf, I was over at Walmart and we have a niece. She's a beautiful lady, got two kids, but she is short. She is short. And all the water in Walmart was gone except the top shelf. I couldn't have reached it. She might could have reached it if I could have put her on my shoulders. And there was a nice, about 20-year-old looking black man who looked like he was about 6'4", and he was reaching up there and he was getting bottles down and putting them in Natalie's cart. And I thought, that's really nice of him. I went on about my shopping and somewhere or other I ran into her later and she said, you know, said he witnessed to me. He asked me if I knew Jesus. Right there in the Walmart aisle, he used a good deed as an opening to talk about Jesus. This week, Most mornings, my wife drags my chubby little body around the neighborhood in a walk. And hopefully, if we do it long enough, I won't be so chubby. But this week, one of our neighbors stopped. And we've met him a couple of times. He's been invited us to church. And he rolled down his window, and she asked him where he worked. And he said he worked for a flooring company in Charlotte. And some way or another, he made the statement, you know, you win some in church, and he uses his job to win some outside of the church. Whatever he does, he wasn't dressed like he's going to go lay carpet, so he must have a more higher up job. But he was using his job and the opportunities that came across his path to reach people for Jesus. You can do that as well. You can't be obnoxious. Sometimes a certain where you work, you may have to be careful. But there are opportunities. And let me say this. If you're here and you're not a Christian, don't wait. Don't wait. There's a guy I graduated from high school with, one of the smartest kids in the class. His dad was in the military, and so he decided he'd be in the military. Joined the Army. He got assigned to one of those units that, you call them howitzers or something like that, big guns. And his job was to pull that wire that made the thing fire. He said one day they were out practicing and the guys loaded a shell in and then they said, stop, it's time for lunch. So they took the shell out, put it back on the stack, went to lunch. Came back from lunch and his crew got assigned to a different gun. The crew that had got assigned to the gun that Chuck had been practicing with, they loaded that shell in there. The guy pulled the thing. It misfired, blew up, and the guy that pulled the chain died. Chuck said he was just about 5 seconds from going to hell because he wasn't a Christian. A group like Campus Crusade. And somebody told him about Jesus and he gave his heart and life to Jesus. You see, don't miss out on opportunities. We never know. We never know. I commented to my wife coming over here, I can understand why families used to have 6 or 8 kids. I can't imagine plowing these cotton fields over here, just me, with a mule or a horse, like you would have done 100 years or more ago. You had to have 5 or 6, and I can't imagine just me and her picking one of these cotton fields. You had to have all these kids. And for years, churches could grow just by baptizing the kids. I mean, you drive up, and you've got a family with 4 kids, and 1 with 5 kids, and 1 with 3 kids, and 1 with 8 kids. You just baptize the kids, and the churches grow. It's not that way anymore. And we're back to the way it was in the book of Acts. We live in a hostile environment. We live in an environment where a lot of people don't want anything to do with Jesus. A lot of people aren't interested in Jesus. We live in a day when some people don't even know about Jesus here in America. But it's the same good news. The same powerful Holy Spirit. And you see, we don't win anybody to Jesus. We do the talking. We do the introducing.
And the Holy Spirit draws them to Jesus. The Holy Spirit causes them to be born again. We just share as He's given us opportunity. The New Testament church caused a lot of joy in heaven, brought a lot of smiles to the Heavenly Father, because one of their primary goals was to tell others and see them born into the family of God. And to be a New Testament church, our goal must be, who around here needs Jesus? Let's tell them. And who knows, you may call some grandma or grandpa in heaven to dance all over when you lead one of their grandkids to the Lord. Let's bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. Even as I've preached this morning, is the name or face of somebody coming to mind that you know is lost? You know that if they died before the sun goes down today, they'll go to hell. Would you make a commitment to the Lord, not to me, not even to the church, would you make a commitment to the Lord? I'm going to pray for them. Would you make a commitment to the Lord that if you have opportunity, you'll share your faith with them and share Jesus with them? Would you ask the Lord to give you opportunities to share your faith, whether it's at Walmart or on the job or with your next door neighbor? Father, I thank you that even in a hostile environment, the Word of God is still powerful and quick and sharper than a two-edged sword, and people can be saved. And today, Father, no matter how bad it may look, thank you that there's opportunities all around us to bring people into the kingdom. And so, Father, I pray that today, we who are a part of Barbies Grove Baptist Church in 2017 will bring smiles to your face and joy in heaven as we witness for our precious Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I have the time of invitation, if you're here and you've never received Jesus, don't presume. Do it now. If you're here and you need to rededicate your life, if you're here and you just want to come and share a name with me or share at the altar, feel free to come.